Good morning. Hope everyone's doing well. A couple things. First, with the whole mandatory mask thing now that's been issued by the state, I have an ask of somebody who's very entrepreneurial or knows how to make things. If you could make a mask that would not fog up my glasses, I would be incredibly thankful for that. So if you could, if someone could just get on that, that would be great. Secondly, I didn't know if you know this, but July 2nd, I believe, we hit the halfway point of 2020. So we're halfway through this thing. And I was thinking I could write a sermon like a really good pep talk for 2020, like, you know, rally hats or something we need to put on, or I don't know, change your shirt, do something. Back in the day when I played baseball, I had one really good game in which I wore my undershirt backwards. And no lie, my wife can attest, from when I was about 17 to when I was about 28, I wore an undershirt backwards underneath my shirt, in which my wife was finally like, "You're 28 years old, let's get over this thing." But my point being is, if you've got something like that that you can do to bring us a good second half of 2020, I'm all for it. So let's put the rally hats on and let's do what we need to do, but let's have a really good second half of the year. What do we say? Amen. We could all use that. So as we think about that, and we think about, I know there are many people who are struggling during this time. I know Miss Betty is feeling better. We want to keep the Spradley families in our prayers. I know Don had his daughter's funeral or memorial service on Friday. We want to keep them in our prayers. We do want to remember, I know Michael mentioned, but it just is on the top of my head, Casey Galloway, who's been coming here. She's a nurse. She was tested positive, but she's doing better. And she's feeling better, so we're thankful for that. So we want to remember, and plus we just want to remember all of our families who are traveling, trying to find somewhere to go to be safe, but also just to get away from this as well. So we want to remember them as well. So let's say a prayer, then we'll get started. Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for this time that we have, this moment that we have. And Lord, we are mindful of the many things going on right now. And Lord, we pray that you continue to watch over us, to walk with us, to be with us. Lord, we're mindful of our members who are having just rough moments. Lord, I pray you be with the Spradley family. I pray for comfort for them in their mourning. Lord, I pray that you continue to be with Miss Betty and her health. Lord, we're thankful that Casey is feeling better, and we can ask that you continue just to lift her up. And Lord, in these moments as we are about to read of your word, Lord, I pray that our hearts and minds are open to what your Spirit wants us to hear. And may your Spirit inside of us continue to transform us and mold us more into your image. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen. Let's all stand up for Exodus 24. Exodus 24, starting in verse 3. When Moses went and told the people all the Lord's words and laws, they responded with one voice, "Everything the Lord has said, we will do." Moses then wrote down everything the Lord had said. He got up early the next morning and built an altar at the foot of the mountain and set up 12 stone pillars representing the 12 tribes of Israel. Then he sent young Israelite men, and they offered burnt offerings and sacrificed young bulls as fellowship offerings to the Lord. Moses took half of the blood and put it into bowls, and the other half he splashed against the altar. Then he took the book of the covenant and read it to the people. They responded, "We will do everything the Lord has said. We will obey." Moses then took the blood and sprinkled it on the people and said, "This is the blood of the covenant the Lord has made with you in accordance with all these words. Be seated." Now, as we start with this passage in Exodus 24, I want to tell you a little story. It's a story I came across a few weeks ago. And it's a story about a retired Air Force colonel and a housekeeper from Guatemala. Jason Denny found himself in the most unlikeliest of places, a pressurized ICU room with the priest administering last rites. Besides having last rites administered, he was also saying goodbye through FaceTime to his family. You see, Jason Denny had recently been diagnosed with COVID-19. And it looked as if he was going to lose his battle. All hope seemed lost for Denny, except except for Rosaura Quinteros. Miss Quinteros had not lost hope in Denny. And who was Quinteros, you ask? She was the daily housekeeper who would come into Denny's hospital room and make sure it was completely clean. Every day she would come into Denny's room and offer a little hope to him. She would remind him that his life was in good hands, both the doctor's and God's. Quinteros would continually encourage Denny that God was not done with him yet and that God still had plans for him. Because you see, here's the thing about this whole COVID-19 and the fear of contagion is that chaplains are not able to do their jobs that they're used to doing. Hospital chaplains can't go into rooms now and sit with patients and listen to them. Chaplains aren't able to have these face-to-face conversations. So the unlikeliest of people are becoming sources of healing and hope for patients of COVID-19. They're the housekeepers and the janitors. They're the people that have to go in and do it. And this was interesting. Denny, as he was being interviewed, said this about Quinteros. She was never scared to get close to me. To the point that Denny would actually look forward to the 5 or 10 minutes every day that Quinteros would come and visit and clean his room. He would later say, and I want you to hear this because this was one of the most poignant quotes in it. He would later say this, "I don't think she realized at the time of what she was doing for me. She was actually saving my life." Though English was not her first language, and Quinteros and Denny come from two different places, they formed a bond. And as Quinteros was being interviewed about this bond, this was her assessment. She said this, "When a patient is treated with compassion and love, language is not a barrier." Compassion and love from a stranger. A housekeeper from Guatemala saved the life of a retired Air Force colonel. It's not hyperbole, he said it. Compassion and love got Mr. Denny through a place he never thought he would be in life. It's kind of like how a lot of us feel right now. We've been talking about this place that we never thought we would be in life. We don't know what the future is going to look like, and we're trying to figure out how we're going to move through it. Many a times, probably during the week like me, you find yourself frustrated, you find yourself tired, you find yourself scared, you find yourself maybe even fearful in moments. And in the midst of all of this, as we're walking through this time together, we've kind of realized that, like I talked last week, that part of our identities may be being dismantled. Stories that we've told about ourselves or have been told may be falling by the wayside just a little bit. We might have even found things about ourselves we didn't really want to know. Like I said last week, that's okay because I believe that as our identities are being dismantled in some ways, that what that gives space for is moments to reorient us and reform us and reconnect us to a story that's been placed in us from long ago. It's a story that we know deep in our bones. It's a story that many of us have committed ourselves to, have committed our lives to. We see it when we read this passage in Exodus 24. When we get to Exodus 24:3, it says this. It says, "Moses went and told the people all the Lord's words and laws, and they responded with one voice, 'Everything the Lord has said, we will do.'" And it's a commitment that many of us in here have made, that many of us have said. And if we remember what they're committing themselves to, it's everything from Exodus 20 to Exodus 24, the beginning of it, which is God's laws and God's promises and God's ways for the people. And as the people are committing themselves with these words, they are taking their first steps with God into a world that's a little bit unknown. They're taking their first steps into a world in which they're telling the powers and principalities, using Paul's words, that they're going to be different, that they're going to shed their old identities, that they're going to be the different people, that there's going to be a new identity working in them. That even in good times and bad, that this new identity, this identity that they're claiming to, will always be with them. And you too have confirmed and also affirmed these same words. And this is why for this week, it may be a little bit of a second half pep rally as I was thinking about it all week, but this day I want to tell you that you can do this, that you can get through this. Because like the people of God who are affirming to God that they will do everything the Lord has said, you too have done it, and I want to remind you of it today. You too went into the waters of baptism and claimed on that day that the powers and principalities will no longer have a hold over you, that the identities that the world has been telling you, that you've been telling yourself, are now going to be dismantled, that God's ways and God's words and God's laws would now be the thing that gets you through life. You too have done the same thing the people of God did in this moment in your baptism. You too have done the same thing the people of God did, as we read further on, as they built an altar, as they sacrificed bulls, as they shed blood on themselves, as Moses sprinkled blood on themselves. Even today, we confirm that these words are good and true through your act of baptism, but also through our act of worship, both online and in person, our acts of reading from the Word, our acts of praying, our acts of meeting together around the table grounds us and reminds us in a day, in a way of living every day, that we can do this. And so as we move through the time of uncertainty and oddity, we need something to hold on to. And I'm giving you today something I believe that you can hold on to. Something that I believe helps affirm, reaffirm, and confirm the set of beliefs that God gave to the people and talked about what we read last week in Exodus 19, that you will be a treasured possession, that you will be a priestly kingdom, and that you will be a holy nation. That there are a core set of beliefs that we can hold on to during this time. Because the core set of beliefs is what we're going to need to get through during this time. Todd Bolsinger said it this way, and I like what he says. He says, when we recommit to our core ideology, we are claiming, no matter the circumstances, an identity that is larger than our success or our failures. For the people in the wilderness, it was the laws and it was the promises of God. It says in Exodus 24:4 that Moses wrote all the words of the Lord down, that this was going to be their core identity. It tells us in Deuteronomy 4, verses 5 and 7, this is Moses speaking again, "See, I have taught you decrees and laws as the Lord my God commanded me, so that you may follow them in the land you are entering to take possession of it. Observe them carefully, for this will show your wisdom and understanding to the nations. You will hear about all these decrees and say, 'Surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. What other nation is so great as to have their gods near them the way the Lord our God is near us whenever we pray to him?'" As they move into the new territory, Moses tells them that you've got a core set of beliefs that I've been giving you, a core identity that I've been putting in you. And so therefore, Moses says, people of God going into a new nation, you can do this. You can get through this. And as we think about our time and where we're going from here, the question we need to ask ourselves as a congregation is this: what are our core ideologies? What is it that we can hold on to, and that it can get us through this time in the wilderness? While the world around us is changing in significant ways, I want to tell you, we have our baptism. What our baptism reminds us, what it speaks to us is this. You have an identity at work in you that is larger than what is happening in the moment, no matter the successes, no matter the failures, no matter when I don't have to wear a mask, no matter when I do have to wear a mask. You have a greater identity than a mask. I hate to break that to you. You've got something bigger than that working inside of you. Your baptism, my baptism, our baptism is the hope that can get us through this. We can get through this because baptism is the identity and commitment from which the people of God can walk into the wilderness with the assurance that they're not going to walk into it alone, that we don't have to change, we don't have to panic, we don't have to fear for what the future is going to be because our baptism grounds us and gives us a strength to move forward. It gives us the security to risk when we need to risk. It gives us the security to be who we need to be. Baptismal identity is a hold to a claim that is greater than you or I. It is greater than any virus. It is greater than anything anybody can tell us. Because when we commit to our baptism, it's why one of the best things I loved about Martin Luther, the theologian, is this. And I've said this numerous times because it's one of these phrases he would use that would always, it would catch me and it would remind me. But when Luther was going through difficult times, when Luther found himself in difficult moments, he would utter this phrase, I am baptized. I am baptized. No matter what he was going through, when he felt like the devil was attacking him, when he felt like the demons were coming after him, he would say this out loud, I am baptized, because that was his core identity. No matter success or failure, he was going to get through it with that. Our baptismal identity is that claim. It is a claim that we commit to Jesus and all that Jesus said, all that Jesus was, and who Jesus was in this world, we claim to that. We claim to the words of Jesus, and we claim to the life of Jesus. We claim that conditions don't have to be perfect, and Lord knows they're not perfect right now, but they don't have to be for kingdom people. Conditions don't have to be just right for kingdom people to move forward. If we read Scripture, we realize this, that conditions were never just right for kingdom people. But we are reminded that we are made for such a time as this, that we are a people who are ready and prepared if we hold on to that thing which is most dear, our baptism. If we remember that as our identity as a baptized people, that we're not in this alone, Paul reminds us in 2 Corinthians 1, chapters 1, verses 1 and 2 is this, now it is God who makes both of us and you stand firm in Christ. He anointed us, set his seal of ownership on us, and put his Spirit in our hearts as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. Paul tells us that there is an anointing, there is a calling, there is a seal, there is a first installment of the Spirit that instills a confidence for you to live without fear, to move forward in this moment, to remember that success or failure is not your true identity. So therefore, be who you are in your baptism. Because we have the confidence that God is with us in this, that God will be with us, as he says in Matthew 28, to the end of the age. And if that is the promise affirmed at our baptism, then we can fully live into that identity. And what is that? What is the one thing our baptism tells us to do as we move forward? What is the thing that Jesus, as he was talking throughout his Gospels, as we read, what does it say? It says this, and the chapter is wrong. It should be Matthew 22. But Matthew 22, starting in verse 36, says this, Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in law? And Jesus replied, Love. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. We can do this because we've been placed inside of us an identity that is real and true, concrete, and ever working in us. Therefore, if that is what we can hold on to, then we can live into the power of Jesus, which is this: love. You want to know how we're going to get through this? Love. It seems easy. It's not. Love. Love God. Love your neighbor. We can get through this because our identity at its core is love. Where do we go from here? We start with love. And love is going to be risky because we're talking about a thick, all-encompassing love that looks to the needs of the others before our own. But this kind of love has the power to pull others up and bring people alongside of you. Think about it. The reason we are all baptized is because of love. We knew that someone, something, a God created us, something more powerful than us, loved us enough to give himself for us. Love has the power. Love is our identity. It is our baptismal identity, and it can get us through this moment. And so that's what I believe is going on right now, that we can get through this because of love. And maybe that is what God is trying to bring us back to, is love. Maybe with the mass thing, we realize something. It's about loving your neighbor. When we get fired up about it, we get upset about it, look at the person next to you. Just think, I'll wear it for them. I'll take care of it. If it helps them, I'll wear it for them. Because really, at your most basic identity is love. If we're anything, we're products of love. Our commitment started with love. We are reminded in John 3:16, for God so loved the world. It breaks walls, it breaks barriers, it breaks hearts. It conquers fear, and it gives us hope for a better day to come. It's not just the greatest, it's the second greatest for the people of God. What's it going to take to get us through this? It's going to take love. It's going to take us holding on to that one thing, knowing that God is there, holding on and saying, this is our core belief. This is who we are. I am baptized in Jesus. I am a baptized believer. And because of that, I can love unconditionally. I can love radically. I can be there for my neighbors. I can be there for anybody who needs me. We're going to get through this, and people are going to know who we are. Not by our post on Facebook or what we put on Instagram or who we vote for, or what political beliefs we have. You know how people are really going to notice you and who you are? It's going to be love. It's going to be you loving them, listening to them. That's what we need more than ever to get through this, and I know we can do it. So let's hold on to that identity. Love. We love God. We love people. That's good news, folks, and that's good news that'll get us through this time. If you have a need this morning, come now as we stand, as we sing.